Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hello. You are listening to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, a podcast all about guitars, a podcast so grand that you cannot fathom its grandness. That's right. The only thing grander than this podcast is the fact that it's free. And if you want more than what we offer here before you, then fear not. We will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to put on. We're going to record. Today, you can head over to patreon.com/guitar nerds for even more weekly content. And welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Mark Packham.
Jungle, jungle.
And Jay Cross.
Hello.
Yes, that's right. And this week on the Guitar Nerds Podcast, we've got loads of cool news, some from Jay's company. We've been looking at a load of cool stuff from... I've been checking out loads of Line 6 stuff, and I think we have a couple of things in our mailbag as well, which is wonderful. No Matt Knight again this week. I don't know where he still is.
He's dead.
I said exactly the same on last week's episode, but I genuinely have no idea where he is. Is he in another country at the moment?
No, he's in this country. I think he's just decided that he likes working more than he likes his mates.
Oh, of course. That makes a bucket of sense.
He looked up when it was time to spend with his mates, and he's gone, I wonder what I can do instead of that. I know, how about working? And that's what he's off doing, I think.
That is clearly what he's doing. An absolute, yes, loves to work. And Mark Packham, we've got you back this week.
Hello, I'm here. Hopefully my internet will hold out and this you won't notice. Should I have not said that we're doing this over the internet?
It doesn't really matter. I mean, my editing skills are so deft that the listener wouldn't know that the three of us weren't arm in arm around a table, you know, singing into the same microphone.
What do you reckon the chances are that a Virgin Media engineer listens to this podcast and can tell me why at exactly 7 o'clock my internet dives from around sort of 80 meg download to 2 download? If anyone can let me know, that would be fantastic.
Yes, it is true.
Because you're a cheapskate.
You are obviously a cheapskate. And of course, excellent. What a wonderful topic to bring up at the top of the podcast. Just at the start bit, where I'm trying to make us sound professional for a short period of time.
I don't understand why you insist on doing that. People know that we're not professional. Both the people that listen to this podcast have got more than enough experience of night. Listen, my mum and your mum, they both know that we're not professional. Yeah. And they're the only people who listen, I'm pretty sure.
That is true. That is true. But yes, last week
I am, of course, kidding. My mum has never listened to
No, I don't think my mum has access to the internet.
She does, mate. She definitely does.
Wonderful. Mum jokes on the Guitar Nerds podcast.
So, Joe, can I tell you something?
Sure.
I was inspired by you today.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. I went to the after being booze shamed in last week's podcast.
Booze shamed?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you have cheap gin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know
what?
I was in Sainsbury's earlier today buying expensive gin and I was thinking of you.
Well, I'm glad that we were both in the same place thinking about each other. It's really nice. So I actually bought some Roku gin today, and that's what I'm drinking right now. You know,
that's wonderful.
Based off of you drinking it neat mixed with whiskey, I thought, wow, that looks like the drink that someone who knows what they're talking about would drink.
And how are you finding it?
It's very nice.
It is wonderful. And of course, on offer in Sainsbury's, listener, £25 a bottle,
that's,
I believe.
That's how much I paid for it. I wouldn't have bought it if it had been at full price.
Yeah,
please,
absolutely.
Please drink responsibly.
who are you talking to?
Yeah, who are you drinking to?
Well, I mean, always Joe. That I'm always thinking that about him.
Who are you drinking to? Mark Packham, you had a rubbish excuse for not being here last week. You were at a pub quiz. I thought it was something like proper because you were non-existent on message replies for the week. So I was like, oh, Mark must have something really serious on to, you know, not be on the Guitar Nerds podcast this week. But it was a pub quiz.
I was revising, mate. The
unbelievable
peep show, a peep show themed pub quiz. I needed to revise. Even so, even with there were six of us on the team. I would say four of them, including me, did some proper revision.
Right.
And even with that, we came fifth. And
Maddie told me it was sixth.
Sorry. I think we were sixth, but then sixth, fifth and fourth all had the same points, I think. Right. Something like that. And then he just picked the ones that he liked the names best of. So we obviously had a terrible name because we ended up coming sixth. But the top team won by 8 points, which is outrageous. It was good.
8 points ahead of second or 8 points ahead of you?
8 points ahead of second.
Unbelievable. Wow. Who cares that much?
How many points did they get? Did they get 8 points?
No, they did very well. It was good. I like a good pub quiz, particularly one themed around one of my favourite TV shows.
one themed around something I know about. Yes. So you don't have to know about like the Kings of England and stuff like that.
Hmm. Well, actually, we have kings. Because it was Peep Show, there was quite a lot of sort of knowledge of like history, British history,
really?
And things like that. Yeah, well, you know, it's mentioned quite a lot in the show. And we didn't do very well on those questions, but we did do the things, you know, like what is Superhands' real name, things like that.
I actually did a bunch of research on Kings of England recently because we weren't exactly sure what... So my girlfriend just applied for an extension. She's American, listeners, I think. People know that, but she lives here legally, don't worry. And she just applied for an extension to her visa and we weren't really sure what she was going to be asked, so we did some research on like the history of the monarchy in the
Henry
UK.
VIII.
Yep, that's right. How many wives do you have?
I don't know, man. Seven.
No,
I only...
Why do you think he's called Henry VIII?
I know that there.
I'm kidding. He's called Henry VIII because he was the eighth Henry. He had six wives.
I only know nine kings, the eight Henrys, and then Arthur.
Which Arthur?
The one with the sword and the stone and that.
The one from Camelot.
Yeah, the Disney one. You know.
Right. Well, okay. How many queens do you know?
Oh, well, I don't know.
Boys, we're wasting
including
valuable...
my friends. Or... Yeah, okay, fine. Mark Packham...
I wasn't saying valuable time. I was saying valuable material. This is gold and should be Patreon only.
Which fine.
Why don't we?
There you
why
go,
don't we
listener.
Make...
That was a
here's... okay. Here's one.
That was
why
a...
don't we
that was
make?
A...
Why don't we make Joe do the British citizenship test on a Patreon and see if he's allowed to stay in the country or if he should get booted?
That's an excellent idea. Bringing things back to guitars, Mark Packham, this week you also went and visited some guitar shops.
I did. So, well, I say some guitar shops, but actually
I went to one
store that I wanted to highlight. So GB Music Retail in Bognor Regis.
GB Music Retail. I think I may have been there. You know, I went to university in Chichester, just around the corner.
So
I think that
used to be owned by one guy who has retired and is now owned by a father and son duo who have taken over the store. And they are basically like redoing all the stock and stuff. And I got to play some really nice stuff that I haven't played before. So, yeah, Tokai guitars. They got a lot of Tokai there.
Oh, that's cool. You don't ever really see Tokai over here anymore, even though Tokai are making cool new guitars at the moment.
Well, do you know what? Actually, of all the smaller stores that I've been to, like shops that don't have, you know, Gibson and Epiphone accounts and stuff, there is actually quite a lot of Tokai out there because, you know, people can't get Epiphone Dots and can't get, you know, Sheratons and stuff like that.
Is that what Tokai are focusing on these days?
Not at all. It's actually a whole range. But again, you know, a lot of these smaller stores can't get, you know, Fender, for example. So they've got Tokai Strats in there. So yeah. Tokai Gold Star Sound Strats. And do you know what?
That's new stuff. That's not...
Yeah, because it's not the old stuff. And it is certainly... I don't think it is not to the quality that, like, you know, things like... What was the precision bass? The Tokai Hard Puncher.
Yeah,
a very well thought of Japanese P bass alike.
Yeah,
so they're not like that anymore.
The deal now is that most of it is now made in China, whereas, you know, a long time ago it was all made in Japan. We did for a brief time stock it at GAC when I was working there.
Really?
Yes, a long time ago. And we had some of the Chinese stuff and some of the Korean stuff actually as well. And it wasn't very good, but I was very, very impressed by this stuff that I tried this week at GB Music. So I tried, firstly, a Strat that was 299 that felt really good. You know, felt kind of like Mexican Strat quality. And I tried some 335s. Again, they're about 399. So I guess roughly the same price as like an Epiphone Dot. And they were very good. I was kind of blown away actually by the quality on them. And I also tried the Japanese made Love Rock, which is their Les Paul standard.
Wait, so they still do a Japanese range as well?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, they do right up from the Chinese stuff, and they do the Japanese stuff as well. So the Japanese Love Rock Les Paul was about $10.99, something like that, and it was really good.
So like proper priced Japanese high-end stuff. I had no idea. That's fantastic that they still do it. I mean, admittedly, now it sounds like it's coming out at an appropriate price point, whereas they, you know, they used to be bargains, but...
Sure.
A new one? Wow, they still do it?
A new one. So they're about 400 quid, something like that, and again, you know, it kind of felt like Mexican P bass quality. So for stores that, you know, haven't got Fender or you know, if you're just looking for an alternative, they're actually really, really good.
They've changed their headstock now, right?
No, still Fender shape, still with a sort of vaguely Fendery logo.
It used to be sharper.
I would need to go back and have a look at a picture, but to me it kind of seemed very similar. So the Tokai stuff in there was fantastic. But the other thing that I'd not played for a very, very long time that they had was a secondhand Laney LC15 combo. I don't know if you boys have had a chance to ever try one.
LC?
Yes, LC15. Hmm. So
yeah, it's like the Vox-alike, right?
Kind of, but they're not in that kind of... No, sorry, because they were VCs. So they also had in the store a VC30, which is kind of the AC30 style. The LC, I think, is like their own just clean valve amp. So there used to be the LC15 and LC15R, so with reverb or without reverb. They're a little, I guess, 10-inch speaker. I would need to check that. It might be an 8. But it sounded, I plugged it in at this store because I hadn't played one for a long time and I always remember them being really good. It sounded absolutely fantastic. And you can pick them up secondhand. I think theirs was like 150 quid, something like that. And, you know, definitely a contender. Certainly better than the Hughes and Kettner that I've got, but very much in that kind of the cleaner end of what a Blues Junior can do. You know, they definitely cool. don't. They don't do a kind of more raucous sound like you can get out of the Blues Junior or a Pro Junior. But if you want something super clean for not a lot of money that sounds fantastic, LC15s by Laney. And I'm pretty sure they don't make them anymore because I've not seen them new in a shop for a long time. But there's tons secondhand. And also, interestingly, we used to sell them a lot to harmonica players. Really good for harmonica.
I tell you what, I don't know if I should be saying this, but we sell absolutely loads of harmonicas. I cannot believe how many harmonica players there are out there.
Fender actually make really good harmonicas. I have a harmonica set by Fender.
Do
like
you?
Like the full set with all the keys. Yeah.
A Blues Deluxe.
Is that what it's? Yeah, I think so. I think that's it came in a little a sort of black booklet of chrome harmonicas.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I still fully intend to teach myself how
you
to actually play them.
You absolutely will not ever do it. I know you won't.
No, I know. I know. I know.
But it's good to have around. Here's an interesting one for you. Did we talk about this on the podcast recently? The harmonica brace. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know who invented that?
Bob Dylan.
That is actually a very good shout, but it isn't him. But it's someone, dare I say, more iconic than Bob Dylan.
The Boss?
Matt?
No.
Yeah. Les Paul.
Johnny Cash. Les Paul?
Les Paul invented the harmonica brace.
Surely not.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Outrageous if true.
What do you mean how? He obviously went, oh, isn't it a shame that I can't play harmonica and guitar at the same time? Oh, I know. I'm Les Paul. I'm an inventor. I'll just invent something. And he invented that.
Why was he? Was he a harmonica player?
I mean,
well evidently, if he didn't. Yeah.
Les Paul invented the harmonica holder. So there you go. You wouldn't have Bob Dylan if it wasn't for. If it wasn't for Les Paul, for, you know, more than one reason. Also, you know who you wouldn't have is the Goomba from the Super Mario Brothers movie, who also played a harmonica with a harmonica brace. One of my earliest memories is watching the Super Mario Brothers movie. First time I ever heard what a vegetarian was the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Oh wow, there you go.
And that's what inspired
I need to watch
you.
That again.
And that is what inspired me. 15 years later.
coming back to Laney do make fantastic ants and often get underrated. I think at the moment, I think everything's, you know, it's a very saturated market at the moment. Interestingly enough, it looks like Laney are starting to focus on like new young bands again in the UK, which I'm not sure has been the case for a little while. There have been like a run of sort of like cool, fresh bands who have been getting Laney endorsements recently. And I think, you know, traditionally...
What are they getting? Ironhearts? Sorry, Ironhearts.
Actually, the ones that I know, a band called Sir, the two, it's two guitarists and a drummer.
Are you getting band and brand mixed up?
No, Laney.
Are you doing what? Sir? Sir yeah,
but,
guitar brand?
Oh, no, it's Sir, but it's S... it's S, a weird O, U, E, R. It's I can't remember what language for sister. It's because it's the band is two girls who play guitar and then a drummer, but the drummer's sort of incidental. It's kind of about those two, but
right.
But they're playing. They both just got a Laney endorsement. It looks like one of them's using a Lionheart. The one that plays a Telecaster is using a Lionheart, and the other one plays one of those what were they called? Zoot Suit Les Pauls.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the rainbow one.
She plays one of those, and often
Les
through...
Pauls or SGs.
No, Les. She's got the Les Paul, so it has a P90. I think a P90 in the bridge?
P90 in the neck. I think and a humbucker in the bridge.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, sorry, it's that way around. Yeah, and she tends to be more ambient and has stacked effects. And I think she had the more contemporary, the Ironheart sort of thing, I guess, because she needed to use loads more octaves and things like that. But I just thought it was interesting, see, because they're very much would be considered like a sort of indie meets math band, and I was really surprised to see them being endorsed by Laney and playing Laney amps, because of course, you know, pretty much outside of metal bands, you don't see a lot of Laney amps kicking around, even though the Lionheart is very good.
I actually met the artist relations guy from Laney, who's a young dude, and I think, yeah, that was the kind of vibe that I got, is that, you know, they've kind of seen what other brands are doing. You know, Orange and Fender have been really good about getting young British bands some gear and endorsing people, and I think they want to do the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it cool. They're a cool brand. They just, I like the, you know, where they have their offices in Birmingham, and they have like a museum there that has all the history of Laney amps, and it's within the actual warehouse where they still make all the high end stuff and still do all the repairs and everything. I think they're a cool company. I want to see more of their stuff.
Yeah, I want to get our hands on those new pedals that they released, because we saw them at the
Country Custom.
Yeah, we saw them at the Birmingham show, and yeah, really, really want to get them into the Guitar Nerd studio and have a proper listen.
Yeah,
are they
absolutely
all drives, or are there time?
No,
like,
there's like
modulation
a whole. Yeah, there's a whole range. So I think there's like an ambient delay, and then I think there is obviously a drive. There might be a reverb. I'm not sure. I think there are between three and four pedals in the lineup at the moment, but like without in front of me, I'm not sure entirely what they are. But it's definitely a range of effects for
okay,
for sure.
Yeah, I've got it. So there's the Monolith, the Secret Path, the Steel Park, and the TI Boost. Oh, the Iommi Boost.
Yeah, which was the first one. It's kind of, that's sort of been shoehorned into this range, because I think the Tony Iommi stuff was the first stuff to come from Black Country Custom, because of course Black Country Custom originally was just the name that Laney were giving their amplifier that they've made,
yeah,
based on the first Laney amp.
Yeah.
Exactly. And they had that whole line. They made his one, then they made the smaller, I think it was a 30 or a 40 watt version of that. And of course, you know, I guess it almost feels like it was the first time Laney realized that people are into old stuff, because Laney is such a forward-looking company. It's the first time they've reissued stuff, and they were like, "Oh, these were popular. Oh, people like our old stuff." And then they've sort of kind of run with this Black Country Custom as kind of a separate company from Laney, like an addition. Even though it is obviously made by the same people in the same place, they're running with that as its name. It's Black Country Custom, the other brand as such.
Gotcha.
But yeah,
I think it's really cool. I think Laney, you know, has come to kind of be known for their kind of modern metal stuff, and actually releasing this stuff under a different brand name is a kind of neat way to go, because it really is harkening back to the early days of Laney.
Yeah, absolutely. So this week I was Instagramming, as I want to do, and I got notified of a live story taking place from James, from James's Home of Tone, and the video featured James.
J-Hot.
Yes.
That's my name, J-Hot. That's me.
J-Hot, yes. James's Home of Tone, J-Hot. Well, The live video that he put out on Instagram starred mostly his toddler son, which I thought was very brave, considering what was happening in the video. He had just received 3 millimetric guitars. So this will be the first 3 millimetric instruments to hit the UK. I appreciate, you know, American listeners, that, you know, that's 3 less instruments that you'll have access to. But for us, it's the first time that these guitars had turned up in the UK, and he was unboxing them, and his toddler son was excellent at actually demonstrating the stickers that came in the hard cases for these. But it was the first time I'd actually seen them, other than, you know, in sort of press shots by Millimetric. And what one of the things that I thought was that it's so thorough the whole way through. Like, we all know. So, listener, if you're not familiar with millimetric guitars, they are a very kind of mechanically built-looking guitar. Like, everything is very symmetrical. How would you describe a millimetric
guitar?
I think I've... Yeah, it's kind of, it's futuristic
and minimalistic.
Yeah, minimal, and futuristic is a good way of. They're very squared sort of shapes, and they're like
it's like the futuristic utopia that none of us will ever live to see.
Yeah, yes.
They throw away all the elements of. It's hard to describe it, but like traditional. Signifiers of things that are a guitar, you know, like the Strat horns or, you know, Les Paul carved top type thing, you know, things that appear on other guitars. They kind of got rid of all of that stuff. So their guitars don't really look like other guitars, apart from the fact that they are vaguely guitar shaped, if that makes sense.
Well, Florian, the guy who makes the millimetric guitars, he says he's very much inspired. His builds are inspired by Travis Bean and Obstructures, who are both aluminium guitar companies.
Yeah.
But of course, these are wooden guitars. But they're one of the ones that's come in, the MG6, is actually designed to be an ambidextrous guitar as well. So the scratch plate is completely centralized, as are all the controls and the jack input. So it can be. It can be strung either way.
I need to look that up because when I've got better internet, I don't want to use up any bandwidth right now searching for it. But where are the controls placed?
So if you manage, this is a very square looking sort of double cut sort of guitar with two humbuckers. The scratch plate is almost a complete square that covers both. Humbuckers and sort of the top part of the guitar. Then you have the bridge beneath that, and then centrally, right below the bridge, is your volume control. Centrally, right below that, is your pickup selector, and centrally, right below that, is your input jack.
That's very odd. I can't imagine what that would be like, having your controls slap bang in the middle of the guitar.
Yeah, it's certainly a really unique and interesting way of doing it. Yeah, I mean, that's not the only, you know, the three models that are here are all different shapes. One of them slightly more offset, the MGS3, which is kind of more of a squared off.
That's
Jaguar.
The one for me.
Yeah, you like that one? I'm very much into the MGS2, which is their sort of single cut version of the MG6, which is the I guess it's not even quite that. It's more like a. It's impossible to describe these guitars, listener. You should just check.
I guess
them out.
With that one, that's the one that's like, if you were, if a toddler had done a painting of a Les Paul,
yes,
that kind of. But if they'd done it completely square with all,
yeah,
the edges.
And had to, if you had to draw a Les Paul, but you had to use a ruler, you know, it's the
yes,
or a line
could,
tool.
Yeah,
you know.
You could only this use is... a ruler to do it.
Yeah, that's it. But the guitars are so incredibly built. There's so much attention to detail. They're so different, so minimalist, such works of art as well as being instruments. And then on top of this, they came in this in the case. The case was a rectangular jobby, but then the guitar is completely recessed. So when you open it, the guitar is flush into the case, so completely padded around it, and the padding is the shape of the guitar. And then the brand of the case is kind of like cut. The name is cut into that padding as well. And James was explaining that the people that make cases make like military cases for weaponry. To be transported in is their primary task. So even the cases are like, everything about millimetric is like, what's the nth degree of, you know, of everything from sort of, you know, of quality. And I love that the even the cases go to this ridiculous sort of this, they match the aesthetic perfectly of the of the guitars. But
it's really pushing that style to the limit. You know, like absolutely. At every point they've gone, right, this is the aesthetic that we're going for. How can we squeeze this into every single thing that we do? You know, how can we take the things that we're doing with the guitars and do that to the case as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely bonkers. So really cool that there are those kind of three models available in the UK now. And, you know, those instruments are like £2,500 each, which is less than I thought they'd be. Like, I was thinking, you know, there'd be like Frank Brothers pricing, you know, like £4,000 up.
They're so different and they're so unique. They probably could be.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I kind of saw them and I was like, well, there's a £4,000 guitar. I'm
totally,
kind of like that it's an accessible... I mean, I know it's a top-end price, but it's still a custom shop.
Well, totally. And the thing is it absolutely could be that price because the sort of person who's going to... Because this isn't going to... In general, I don't think someone's going to say, okay, am I going to spend £2,500 on a 62 reissue custom shop or... Am I going to spend £2,500 on this? You know, the person who's buying this guitar is not like a Fender customer or a Gibson customer. They want something very, very different. And so with that in mind, I'm surprised that they're not more money, honestly.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as soon as you deviate from that kind of core player, the company could, in theory, charge more if they wanted to because they know that they're doing something different. So
it's
cool. It's a great company. They're cool-looking guitars. So
I am actually in a Hank Marvin tribute band, and I was thinking about getting a Fiesta Red 57 Strat,
56.
But I'm thinking 56 Strat. Sorry, but I was thinking I'll probably get one of these instead.
There's no tremolo, but I'm sure that you can just boogie it around and it'll
just
be all right.
Bend the neck, mate. Yeah,
it'll do.
So continuing on my conversion to the Line 6 Helix. I've been getting to grips with it, and I think I'm there. I think I'm actually there where I'm at a point where I'm happy with everything, and I think I'm starting to understand the beast, as it were. So, like, I love how controllable it was. I mean, I know this is a really basic thing, and you know, listeners who play the Helix will know this, but I didn't know this, and I discovered it today, and I thought it was very cool. You've got the 8 foot switches on a Helix LT, right? And you can have your stomp mode or your preset mode. And of course, anyone who uses lots of effects is never really going to use stomp mode. It's only a writing tool. Like, there's kind of no point in using the stomp mode. You can split the modes.
Sorry?
That's cool. So I have the front four foot switches. Those are my patches. Yeah. So I've got I've got my clean sound on there. I've got like a drive sound where I'm going through like an Ampeg SVT simulator as well as going through an Ampeg B15, you know, that sort of thing. Then a modulation sound and a weird ambient sound. But then I can have the top four controlling individual
effects. In manual mode, yeah.
Yeah, which is great.
Do they turn on effects within those patches? So, for example,
those effects aren't global.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So that's pretty much how a lot of effects, multi effects, have worked for a while, though.
That's right. Yeah, I think actually the pod, the what was the pod called when they started doing it with floor buttons like that?
XT.
XT. Yeah, that's it.
That was the first pod, one. Yeah.
Yeah, that could be split like that. It was just that I didn't realize you could split it like that, and I was like, man, that's such a usable feature, having like a half and half of both things.
What would be really interesting is if you could have all your patches, but then you could have four effects that are global that could also affect the patches, if that makes sense.
You could just add the same four editable effects onto every single one of your patches.
Yeah, of course, you could do that, and then just have them switched off, I guess, when you go onto the patch.
Exactly.
But that would take up kind of slots in that patch, I guess. I guess if the way that I'm talking about it, you'd kind of almost need like two processors. You'd need like the processor of doing the patch and the processor doing the global effects as well.
Yeah, I guess so. But either way, I've really started to kind of get to grips with it and and starting to explore a bit more. Because it's certainly, when I was applying it to bass, and I was like, at first I was like, well, there's only one bass drive, the Obsidian 7000. There's only that on the Helix, and I don't like the sound of it. So I was like, that's a shame. And then I was like running the Clon Centaur as my drive, and I was like, it's making everything a bit thin. And then I realized, you know, and this is a bit of a step-by-step of me learning the product. I was like, oh, I can, of course, run it in parallel, so I can keep my clean signal there, which maintains all my low end and all that sort of, you know, broad, you know, EQ of a bass, and have the Clon run alongside it. And then from there, I realized, well, why don't I just have... instead of my drive switching on a drive pedal, how about my drive switches on like a parallel second run, a second compressor, this time instead of running into the, you know, normal amp that I'm using, runs into a really hot SVT, and using that as the drive pedal, essentially. And I'm loving how much I can do. And I got that idea from using the...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Line 6 custom tone stuff, which is super cool. And listener, if you have a Helix, or if you're thinking about getting one, the custom tone is an awesome place to get ideas. So it's a user database for you to upload patches that you have built on your Line 6 Helix, and then you can download other people's, which is fantastic. And you can search by bands. So when people have tried to imitate a particular sound that a guitarist or a bass player has on a specific record, you can search by player. So if someone's like, you know, this bass sounds a bit like Chris Squire, you can find all the Chris Squire ones. You can search by instrument, you can search by genre of music. And then people have created all these patches, and the best thing is that obviously you don't have to use that patch as it is. So that's where I got the idea for the, you know, the parallel drive being a separate amp, was by downloading a patch that someone had created of that sort of thing, and being like, oh yeah, that's a good idea. I'd never thought of that. And I appreciate that anyone with a Helix would have obviously thought of that. I'm still very much in the early stages of learning how to use a Helix. But I was like, man, this thing is totally limitless, and I'm much enjoying that.
To connect it up, right, you go and get your printer port to MIDI in and out cable, right, like you did on the pod, and you download the patch. Is that how it works?
I'm sure there's a printer port on here somewhere. There seems to be every other type of input, so I'm sure that's something that can be done. Yes,
that sounds like a very convoluted way of doing it. I'm pretty sure there's not a printer port out on your current computer.
But yeah, but all in all, I think I think the custom tone thing is a fantastic idea, and I I really, really recommend the Helix. I know they're a chunk of money. I know they're a chunk of money, but I'm having an absolute whale of a time with the custom tones. It's loads of fun. Anyway, we should see what's in this week's
mailbag.
Yes, that's right. Well, there's actually this week's mailbag, Jay. Oh. This week's mailbag.
That's where the jingle goes, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, the jingle goes.
Jingle goes. That's where the jingle goes. Hey.
I am going to get one of these new Rode podcaster things so that all the jingles can be live, because I think the whole thing will be less
confusing. Joe, I don't want to have to listen to the jingles.
Oh, okay.
Are you able to mute my headphones when you play the jingle so I don't have to listen to it?
I would definitely do that for you. Yes, absolutely. You. Well, anyway, there's only one thing in the mailbag this week, which is good because we've got some exciting things in the news. Friend of the podcast, Tate FX, recently, well, actually a little while ago, released their Antares Overdrive. I don't know when it came out. A little while ago, I've seen it.
It was definitely out last year.
Yeah, I think it was out towards the end of last year. But it's the first thing that's come in a different chassis from Tate FX. So this one's like a lovely, completely matte black finish with a really nice decal on the top. Before, they were always the that sort of steel enclosure, sort of screwed enclosure with like a sticker logo on the top, which is cool, and I think that's kind of like a design standard within small boutique brands. But I really like that Tate FX are kind of trying to move their design towards something that's maybe a little bit more pro looking. I don't mean that in a negative way towards how the pedals looked before. I just mean that, you know, these ones certainly look more less like, you know, a little boutique company and more like a normal big company. But the Antares Overdrive is like a mid-pushed drive pedal. Unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to bring it over to the other guys yet, so I'm the only one who's demoed it, but I really enjoyed it. Listeners, I think you should check it out if you can. What I really like is the controls on the drive. You've got gain, volume, tone, and then you've got like a clean blend, which I found super usable, because I really like, even with these quite heavy hitting sort of mid-push drives, I like keeping drive quite subtle and just having it as like a little bit of amp breakup, and that clean control really allows you to do that, as well as getting kind of some very like full-on tones from it. But man, I thought, you know, like Tate FX pedals are cheaper than a lot of boutique pedals out there, and it was a great sounding like mid-push drive. It's 100% worth checking out. But you know, we can't talk about it in any more depth than that, because I'm the only one who's tried it out. But
I definitely want to listen to it.
Yeah, it's super cool. I'm gonna,
like, design wise it's a big step up, like you were saying. It feels like the first thing that doesn't, although all of Stuart's stuff is kind of homemade in his workshop, it's the first one that kind of doesn't look like it's just, you know, the standard sort of box. So yeah, excited for it.
Yeah, it's gonna be super cool. Anyway, let's have a look at this week's news.
News.
So, Jay Cross, we didn't get around to talking about this last week, so this is I guess it's old news in that sense, because it's been around for a week. Well, it's been around for longer than that, because you guys announced this stuff at NAMM, but you've got loads of new pedals in the Fender lineup.
Yeah, the new range of Fender pedals that were, as you say, shown at NAMM, actually in stock and shipping now, which is really cool, really exciting. So there's six new pedals.
How many were in the lineup before?
So there was, before this, there was nine. So there was the six that were announced at Winter NAMM last year, and then three more at Summer NAMM in 2018. And then, yeah, six more now. So it's turning into quite a big offering, which is really... it's really cool. It's really exciting, actually.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's, I think that we're kind of getting to the point where the Fender pedals are being accepted as, you know, for what they are, as opposed to what Fender pedals have been in recent years, which is, you know, kind of also Rans. But these, yeah, the new ones are fantastic. And so last week, I can't remember where we are now. We did
Tuesday last week.
Wednesday last week. I went out and was in London, and we were doing some shooting of some demo videos, mainly around some new guitars that we've got coming out. But we also had the pedal board with all of the new pedals there, and basically the artists who came and were demoing these guitars, we just said, look, if you want to use any of these, feel free. You know, don't worry too much about it. And yeah, people were absolutely loving them. I tell you what, the Treverb is the one that was getting the most use. I think because it's the most kind of quintessentially Fender, you know, so the Treverb, obviously tremolo and reverb in a box. So you've got three sounds on each, so three reverbs and three trems. The trem can be tapped. They're soft switches, so the trem can be tap tempo, or you can obviously just control it with the rate and depth controls. Stereo in and out, and yeah, it sounded fantastic. It sounded really, really amazing. So I'm really excited about that one. Really excited for people to kind of get their hands on it and check it out. I think that is the one that's really, really going to shine through. It sounded amazing.
I don't say that because I didn't think it was a good pedal. I meant just because some of the other things you've got in this lineup are absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing is, you know, you and I are both very different guitar players and have very different kind of interests in this side of things anyway. I assume you're most interested in like the pinwheel, which is the Leslie emulator.
Absolutely.
Yeah, which also sounded fantastic. What I haven't had a chance to do yet is hook it up to two amps, because it is true stereo. So that I'm really, really excited to do. But yeah, so basically there's a new Leslie emulator. So there's three different types of Leslie built in, one of which is the
Vibra tone.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, the Vibra tone. And the other two. So I was a little bit when this first was announced, I wasn't sure whether we could, you know, how we were going to go down the route of calling it, whether it could be called a Leslie emulator. But something that I found that was quite interesting was at the time that the Vibratone came out, which was, I don't know when it was, in the 70s at some point, Fender was owned by CBS, and CBS also owned the patent to Leslie at the time.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so, you know, it's all a true kind of Leslie sound, basically. That's what the Vibra is. And yeah, the pinwheel, it sounds amazing. It sounds really, really cool. So that, along with the Bubbler and the Lost Highway, which are the Chorus and the Phaser, respectively, they've each got a really, really nice little feature in, which is they've both got two speeds that you can set, and you can switch between them, which is what you would expect from a Leslie emulator, obviously, or, you know, a spinning speaker emulator. Is you've got,
yeah,
that.
But it's cool that they've brought those over onto the other two.
Absolutely. So the the thing that's really cool about them, so obviously you set the speed between the two, and then you can switch between the two. But the thing that I really like about them is that you've got a control on there called sensitivity. And what that does is it allows you to set it, and then depending on how hard you play, it will switch from one to the other automatically. So you can, for example, you can have it set at the slow set. You can have the pinwheel set at the slow setting, but then you have the sensitivity set quite high, and when you really, really dig in, it will automatically switch to the fast.
That sounds awesome. Yeah. But you can also use the foot switch to switch, the second foot switch to switch between, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And also the second foot switch will act as a brake. It will also act as a brake. So if you just want to slow it down completely and then kick it back up so that it slowly brings itself back in. Yes.
And it has a ramp control, right?
So yeah, so that allows you to control how quickly it will switch between the slow and fast settings.
That's awesome. That's everything you want from a Leslie emulator. Everyone should have one.
Yeah, and again, so that's...
Yeah, I was going to say, it was really impressive. I was actually surprised by how well it worked. Yeah, because sometimes, you know, those kind of dynamic-based effects, you know, the harder you play, the it will change something. Sometimes they just don't really pick up particularly well. And also, I just want to say that the bubbler is one of the greatest names for an effects pedal ever. Love it.
It's, like, it's really cute, isn't it? It's like a little bubbler chorus. I love it. I absolutely love it. It's great. And Mark, that is high praise coming from the world's most vocal opponent to chorus.
I didn't even listen to it. I just listened to the Leslie, and the Leslie was wicked. And I was like, I'm not listening to the chorus. Forget about it. But the bubbler is a great name.
Right, good. Thanks for your support, mate. Appreciate that. So the Lost Highway Phaser, named after, of course, well, I don't know if it's named after, but named after the David Lynch movie, of course. Again, has the ability to switch between the two speeds, and it's got that sensitivity control on there as well. This also sounds amazing with switching between the two. And then MTG tube distortion, which I'm going to be honest, I was a little bit worried because in my experience, tube-based drives have... I've always seen as maybe a bit of a gimmick.
So wait, this has a tube in it?
Yeah.
So you've made an effects pedal with a valve?
Yes. So it's a microtube. It's a little mini 6205 preamp tube, which is like a real, real small microtube. It's like the size of a couple of grains of rice, I guess. You know, it's really small. It's not like it's not like a 12AX7 or something like that. It's a very small tube that is that's, you know, in the circuit. So it's not something that you can clip out and clip in again or anything like that. So it's a NOS tube. I don't know where it came from, but it's something that they've had for a while, and they wanted to build into something. And yeah, it's gone into this MTG tube distortion, and it sounds great. Sounds really, really good. You've also got a boost function in there. It's
So it's another dual pedal one.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they're all
everything's
dual pedals.
Dual pedal.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, keeping with that, this whole range are kind of you know, a similar sort of aesthetic. The major difference between these and some of the older pedals that we did are there's no battery case in these. You don't have that magnetic battery. Simply because, you know, time-based effects, they're just... Your battery's just going to run out. So they don't come with a battery, but they're not... Some of them, actually, a couple of them are super, super juicy. I think it's the Treverb is 300 milliamp or 380 milliamp. And I think the pinwheel was the same. I'm just trying to see. No, I can't remember. But it's they're both. A couple of them are very, very juicy.
Right.
And also there's a bass pedal. So
This is the weirdest one. It's not just a bass pedal. This is a completely different chassis for Fender and everything.
Yes. So it's the first like fully kind of fly rig style pedal. So the Downtown Express, which is our kind of bass tone shaping pedal, I guess, is the way you would describe it. So it's got a load of features that you would want from this kind of like bass preamp.
It's kind of like a fly rig for bass players.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've got the ability to direct out from it. You've got a mute button, you've got a three-band EQ, you've got a drive, and you've got a compressor. Designed in partnership with Alex Aguilar, so you've got a bit of that.
Oh, that's mad. That's totally awesome.
Yeah. So you've got that kind
of... I mean, that seems mad. Why wouldn't he just release it himself?
So this is the second pedal that he has been involved with. The first was the Santa Ana. Which was from the first range of pedals. Actually, that's something that I kind of glossed over as well. The MTG was designed in conjunction with Bruce Egnator. So, I think one of the things they've just been trying to do is just really appeal to people who maybe would have not paid attention to the pedals before, just thought, oh yeah, it's, you know, just Fender, just, you know, catching up with the crowd. But they really are a huge step forward from everything else that Fender have done in prior years. And it's, yeah, it's really a really cool lineup now. I'm really excited about it. It's the first time that I've kind of had to try and talk about stuff that I have like a real vested interest in without trying to sound disingenuous. And I try not to sound disingenuous is something that I struggle with, because I always am very sarcastic. So I'm trying to toe the line here, but they're wicked. They're really, really good. With the Downtown Express, the thing that I think really sets it apart is there's a little switch in there which allows you to change where the DI comes out from. So it can be pre-EQ, it can be after the EQ and the effects, or it can just be after the effects. So you've got, you know, if you want to have like one sound go, if you don't want your EQ coming through the front of house, you know, you just need, say you just need a little bit more mids on the stage, but obviously what you want people to hear out there is like absolutely no mids, that classic bass sound of cutting all the mids out, you know. If you only want it to sound good to you on the stage, you can do it, you can make that be the case, you know. So yeah, I mean, great range of pedals, and it's really exciting to be a part of it, honestly. I'm really keen to hear what people think about them moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm super excited. I love that there's a Leslie, you know, simulator. Obviously, I keep going on about that, but I think this is a great expansion to what was a cool core line of pedals. And I do kind of think that they've proven themselves and held their own. And I don't think we'd give them as much airtime if we didn't genuinely think that they were. Well, I certainly wouldn't if I didn't, you know, genuinely think that they were great products, you know. And I think things like, we, you know, we spoke about it a bit last week, but things, did we? I think we did. About the Pelt Fuzz. Yeah, we did, about the Pelt Fuzz becoming like a real, a really well-respected, great-sounding fuzz. And if Fender continue to keep the prices so reasonable, and, you know, the chassis so, like, they're so well-built and good-looking with a cool colour range, and now they're expanding them to include all these effects that, you know, people are into, like, you know, the Triverb is the sort of thing that, you know, that there's, you know, there are Strymon versions of that sort of thing, and, you know, people are buying those sorts of effects at the moment. So it will be cool to see how these go down, but I think they're going to be wicked.
Yep, I agree. So Mark's back in the room after getting bored of hearing me talk about pedals for a while.
Hello. Once again, yes. if you're a Virgin Media engineer and you're listening to this, why is it after my internet is mega all day? I'm able to do video calls, I'm able to watch movies, get mega fast download, and then 7 o'clock.
What are you doing watching movies during the work day?
Yeah, what are you on my lunch break, mate? So,
oh my god.
So and then suddenly at 7 o'clock, I'm unable to speak without it sounding like I've chiseled through a potato.
Well,
and I'm using that as a broadcasting
device.
Absolutely
wonderful. Going straight after Matthew Knight's mantle as the least internet person on the Guitar Nerds host team.
Stop, yes. I love the internet. Matt hates the internet. Yes. I love the internet.
Matt hates computers. He still carries around a pen and paper.
Yeah, that is true. His
little
notebook.
Wrong with the pen and paper? I'm all about the boutique.
I actually use a
tablet and a chisel.
I'll tell you what's wrong with a pen and paper, J-Cross. It's the amount of time that I spend in Nectar 3 Elements, which is an editing suite, after we record podcasts, trying to edit out the sound of you dropping your pen. about 20 times an episode, but
I like to spin my pen. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I absolutely know. Anyway,
there's another one for you.
Yeah, thank you for that. Thank you. I've got quite good at it. Anyway, Mark Packham, tell me about Dan Electro. Dan Electro were on last week's podcast with their cool new guitars, which Dan Grace got very excited about. But tell me about what they've released this week.
Yeah, believe it or not, I actually listened to the podcast, and I believe the chap in the Dan Electro pedal videos, which I'm about to talk about, is using one of those new guitars that you were talking about, the one with the P90 in the neck. They're like a, what, 59 XT or something, I think they're called?
Yeah.
With a P90 in the neck, and yeah, it looked super, super cool, and it was good to hear Dan being enthusiastic about them.
God, so I still have a lot of time for this brand. They're still super vibey.
Well, yeah, talk about vibey. So again, two new pedals from this kind of range that they're doing, which are sort of distressed relic pedals, if you will.
They started
teasing
these, didn't they, some time ago?
Did they? I didn't see
I think I brought them up in the news. I think maybe just before or just after NAMM, they started to sort of tease pictures. Because they had a tagline. It was a terrible tagline, but it was something like, "Once lost, now found." Dan Electro.
Oh,
Do you remember this?
Yeah.
Well, so they finally released these pedals anyway. So two pedals, the Eisenhower Fuzz and the Breakdown. So they are, two fuzzes. The Eisenhower, both based on kind of a classic 60s fuzz.
Right.
The Eisenhower being adding some kind of modern features. So you've got four controls, volume, fuzz, treble, and bass. And then you also get a flat / sculpt mini toggle on there as well. So that's basically taking out the mids. Flat sculpt toggle switch adds bass and cuts mids for awesome in-your-face tone.
I am so more than 100% into the look of these pedals and the sort of brassness of the foot switch as well.
Yeah, it's it all looks pretty robust. You know, we obviously from Dan Electro, we've seen a whole range of kind of build styles from the old Food series, which were pretty they were kind of in between, I guess. They were kind of plastic, but they had some metal elements, and then obviously they did the Fab series, which were all plastic. But they've
Everyone
also done things
fab.
Like the. Well, yeah, they've also done things like the Daddy O Wah, which was the wah in the kind of metal Cadillac box. So, like, shaped like a Cadillac car and a kind of metal housing that was very, very robust indeed. And these look to be somewhere in the middle, actually, more on the kind of robust side. So,
that they're going for this after they launched Billionaire kind of as the effects pedal arm of Dan Electro.
Yeah. I don't really understand why they're doing this. I guess this kind of like old series they want to put as, you know, Dan Electro front and center, and then the other one of their the Billionaire series. Eisenhower Fuzz. So as well as being a fuzz, it's also got that kind of octave up and that kind of real kind of harmonic fuzz. So I get, you know, think kind of Hendrix-y, I guess. The Breakdown veers much more towards another famous Dan Electro artist, actually.
Love everything about this pedal.
Yeah, so this seems to be invoking the kind of Jimmy Page late 60s fuzz. Just two controls on this one, volume and breakup, which for a pedal called the Breakdown, I found pretty cool. It's basically got, the way that Dan Electro described it is, the Breakdown has a six-position selector which attenuates the input to the pedal. Positions 1, 2, 3 offer leave-it-on all-the-time tones, while positions 4 through 6 hit the input of your amp increasingly hard, resulting in breakup happening at the amp input stage. So basically, 1 to 3 are going to be usable sounds, and 4 to 6 are going to be ridiculous, over-the-top fuzz.
I like the bit at the end of this press release, which says, "Caution: do not listen to this pedal unless you want it to be your life companion."
That's a pretty bold claim.
Is serious.
I like it. I think it's great.
Oh, I'm in.
So pricing $149 for each. Street pricing $149 for each. I want to hear these in the real life, because on the videos they sound really good, but fuzz is one of those things where, you know, it's so hard to tell what compression's been added to the video, etc. You never know exactly what a fuzz is going to sound like until you've got it in your hands.
So super cool. Anyway, that is it for us here on the regular episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast, but we'll be continuing over on our Patreon episode of the podcast, where for as little as $1 a month, you can support the podcast. $1 a month gets you the regular episode ad-free and early. $5 a month gets you the Patreon episode and the Hall of Fame episode, plus loads of other bonus stuff that we do from time to time. And 10 $5 a month makes you an executive producer and gets your name read out in one breath by me.
By whom?
Yes, by me.
Oh, you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, quite the case. So, I'm going to read them out. Do we still have Mark Packham? Is he with us?
Yeah, I'm still here. But Jay should do the wonderful backing track just in case I drop out.
No, I'm sure it'll be fine. Both of you, are you ready?
I'll leave this one to you, Jay.
Okay.
John Anglin, Adam Royce-Chris, Jake Cutmore, Robert Cousins, Rob Gruhl, Scott Hamilton, Tucker Amadon, Ernie Cooper, Russ Edwards, Nate Nagel, Stephen Edge, Ron Grant, Matt Roberts, Dave Lee, Emery James Baker, Juan Currier, Aaron Sherman, Blake Wyland, Andrew Goody, Jamie Kemp, Jake Gray, Matt Bellamy, Martin Cliff, Scott Kennedy, Chris Malus, and Hansams, Robert Smith, Derek Rich, Chris Connors, Rob Nordwick, Duncan Watson, Ed Bailey, Steve Marco, DJ Mark Cross, Michael McRae, Carlos Manch, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Brett Holmes, Scott O'Brien, Laurie Anstis, Paul Corrigan, Will Clare, Moo Gravett, Phil Thompson, Adrian Day, Ken Sayers, Matthew King, Stuart Tate, Scott Kane, Sean Arbo, Christopher Walshman, Cuthbert Son.
You only just made that.
No, I had some left. I'm trying to slow it down so I really give some articulation to all of the executive backers. Make sure they're really feeling the benefit of those $10 a month that they're spending on me reading their names.
I mean, that is that is the only reason that they're paying for it.
I'm gonna introduce some additional perks, but actually, I'm going on a skiing holiday next week, so I have to do it when I get back.
Is that where you're going? You're going skiing?
No, I'm not. My sister is a skiing instructor on a ski resort in Switzerland, so I'm going to see her at the skiing resort. I am not skiing, although could I convince my holiday insurers that I was going to a ski resort and not skiing? No, I could not. I hate skiing.
You ever been? You ever been skiing?
I don't think so. No.
Sorry?
No,
How did you answer that question? I don't think so. I said, have you ever been skiing? What did you think I said?
I think I've maybe done some of those artificial ski slopes in like Milton Keynes or something once.
Right, but like, okay.
When I was much younger, you know, and drunk. But
Many moons ago.
So I don't recall it, but yes, you know, I believe I have at one point. But it's not like I would do a skiing holiday. I'm not a skier. I'm not like that. I'm just going to see my sister for a bit. Like, that's all.
I'd go skiing if I was you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely not going to do that. She's a skiing instructor and her boyfriend's a snowboard instructor. And they're like, you know, they're like a super couple, you know. They're a bit like, hi, welcome to the ski resort, how's it going? And I'm sort of like, you know, the inferior brother who is just likes guitars and stuff.
Yeah,
so it's gonna be fun.
Do either of them have a dodgy moustache?
No, neither of them have a dodgy moustache. They all have like really sort of luscious hair, you know, and you know, sort of the sort of people that have tans even though they live on a ski resort, you know. It's that sort of thing.
It's sunny up there.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
most of the time you're above the cloud line.
All
I'm wondering is how much would our patrons pay to see a video of you attempting to ski?
Well, I am going to go tobogganing. I am going to do a little bit of tobogganing. Where's that? Whilst I'm there.
Oh right, okay. I think you should. I think you should read out the Patreon names whilst tobogganing.
Oh, that's a great idea. I might well try and do that. I'm gonna take a little one of those little Shure mics for my phone so that I can, if I happen across any guitar stores on a ski resort.
How much, as a one-off payment, do people need to pay to have their name tattooed on you?
Oh, that's a good point. Oh, not a lot. I mean, it's probably name dependent. You know, put their name on the Patreon down as Matt Bellamy, I'm probably not going to get that done. But but you know,
that was Matt Bellamy, wasn't it?
If Hans Ams wants to get in touch and he wants his name tattooed on me, you know,
what do you reckon? A fiver,
100 quid, 50 quid, 50 quid,
100, come on, mate. You're not worth that much.
I've got to cover the cost of the tattoo.
Nah.
This is getting too dangerous. We should wrap this up.
Yes, that is it for us this week. We'll be continuing over on the Patreon episode. We'll see you next week. Farewell.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.